The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams. Quintessential phase.
Lamuella is listed briefly in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy as a planet partly bisected by a plural zone near a hyperspace jump point on the eastern rim of the galaxy. It is, by and large, unknown, which is a pity, for upon Lamuella, every aspect of making the humble sandwich has been developed beyond the dreams of even the picnic food epicures on Thermus Magna 6. Choosing the right bread, for instance. The sandwich maker, in Lamuella's only significant settlement, spends many months in daily consultation and experiment with Grop the baker. And between them, they have created a loaf of exactly a consistency dense enough to slice thinly and neatly, while still being light, moist, and having that fine nuttiness which best enhances the roasted, sliced flesh of a perfectly normal beast. The proper tools, of course, are crucial. And many are the days that the sandwich maker will spend silhouetted against the glow of Strinder the toolmaker's forge, making slow, sweeping movements through the air, trying one knife after another. First, there is the knife for the slicing of the bread, a firm, authoritative blade which imposes a clear and defining will on a loaf. Then there is the butter-spreading knife, a whippy little number, but still with a firm backbone to it. King amongst the knives, of course, is the carving knife. This is the blade that not merely imposes its will on the medium through which it moves, it must work with it, be guided by the grain of the meat. The sandwich maker will flip each slice with a smooth flick of the wrist onto the bread, trim it with four deft strokes, and then add a few slices of newcomer and flattish and a touch of splagberry sauce before applying the topmost crowning layer of bread. There are those in the village who are happy chopping wood, those who are content carrying mortar. An old thrashbarg may be head man, soothsayer, and all-round busybody, but to be the sandwich maker is heaven itself. Or so the sandwich maker thinks, as he sings, as he works.
Sandwich maker! Sandwich maker!
Ah, Drindle, is this the last of the perfectly normal beast?
Yes, sandwich maker. But next Froon Day they will migrate again at 4:30 in the afternoon. Old Thrashbog predicts it. He says this herd will yield maybe 7 dozen carcasses. That should tide us over till the return migration.
Let's hope Thrashbog has examined his picker bird entrails correctly.
Thrashbog is never wrong. Not about perfectly normal beasts.
Surprising, considering that while the rest of the village risk life and limb on the actual hunt, he makes up stories about his bravery and the safety of his heart.
Sandwich maker, the almighty Bob has sent another chariot. Not a fiery one such as that which bore you unto us, but a smooth one with gold Farster stripes. It sailed in the clearing an hour ago. Old Thrashbog is propitiating it.
Good grief. Show me.
Oh, yeah, come on.
Almighty Bob, thou hast vouchsafed us the world of Lamuella for our dwelling place, the migrations of the perfectly normal beast for our food, the droppings of the picker birds to fertilize our crops, and many moons ago by fiery chariot you sent unto us your only begotten sandwich maker to make our sandwiches, since which time we have known on what side our bread is buttered.
Old Thrashbog.
What?
Sorry to interrupt, Nat, but why did Almighty Bob send his only begotten sandwich maker in a burning, fiery chariot rather than perhaps in one that might have landed quietly? I mean, like this one.
Well, Graf got a point there.
Mysterious ways.
After all, if Almighty Bob loves his people, why would he send a chariot that burned down half the forest, filling it with gold?
Yes, and injuring the sandwich maker quite badly. Yeah. So that he limps heavily these days.
Harker and his strings.
The logic of the toolmaker is not gainsaid.
Shush!
You unbelievers.
Oh, God. Who are you to argue with the ineffable will of Bob?
What does ineffable mean?
Look it up!
Lend us your dictionary, then.
It is forbidden.
Why?
It is not for you to question the will of Almighty Bob. And if you don't have faith, you'll burn. So let me get on with my propitiating before the ghosts emerge from the forest and frighten away the perfectly normal beasts.
Well, well. Oh, a spaceship.
Go down right now with your words of wisdom and partake a fine...
The fiery chariot sandwich maker. Now back off. And let me propitiate, Almighty Bob, who knowest all things. What the zork was that?
Only the airlock opening. Oh, my Bob.
Hello, Arthur.
Trillium?
We thought we'd arrived at some Iron Age backwater. We nearly left again. Lucky you appeared.
We?
Yeah. Random.
What now?
Come and meet your father.
Under the towel! Quick!
Immediately, Mr. Prefect!
Thanks, Colin!
Hold the corners tightly! We are 300 feet above ground!
Jeez! Try not to lose altitude!
It gives me validation beyond the measure to burn out my anti-gravity circuits in your service!
Did you see them? Bogons! Bogons really have taken over the Hitchhiker's Guide building!
Yes! The wonderful new management! The old management was also fabulous, of course, though I'm not sure if I thought so at the time.
Before I reprogrammed you to be happy instead of officious.
How true! How wonderfully true! How bubblingly, frothingly, burstingly true! And joy, all of them below, setting up rocket launchers.
Suffering Zarquan! Drop me over the nearest ledge!
I'm bursting fluffy pink bunny love in fulfilling your wish!
Burst later! For now, drop me off!
Consider it an ecstasy-inducing joy!
Dingo's kidneys! Blacked-out windows. What floor is this?
13. Research and development. Couldn't you just hug it?
R&D used to be on the fifth floor.
Incoming! It's paradise up here.
We need to be inside. Not stuck out here like targets. Break the glass, Colin.
The windows can't be broken. The glass was reinforced after the Frogstar attack.
What Frogstar attack?
The one that led the engineers to upgrade the windows.
But we broke out of Van Hal's window.
That is because the engineers were not expecting an impact from inside the building.
Right. So logically, what would the engineers not be expecting someone sitting on the ledge outside a window to do? They wouldn't be expecting me to be here in the first place. When people design something to be foolproof, they usually underestimate the ingenuity of complete fools.
What bliss to be shot at while stranded on a 13th floor ledge with a complete fool!
What's that?
A rocket-propelled grenade! Scrumptious!
No. Through the glass, something moved. A bird? There's something in there.
The guide!
What guide?
The guide version 2. Pro. It's quite wonderful and very frightening. Not that I do fear being so happy.
Shut up, Colin. Brace me while I find the catch.
Nice sandwich shop. Random, do come inside.
No!
I'm happy here, Trillium. They like me. I make sandwiches for them, and, well, that's it, really. Please make yourself comfortable. Can I get you anything? A sandwich? Try one, they're good.
Tastes good. What's the filling?
Oh, yes, that's perfectly normal beast.
It's what?
Perfectly normal beast. A bit like a buffalo. Large, charging sort of animal.
You talk as if there was something odd about it.
Nothing. It's perfectly normal.
Oh, I see.
It's just a bit odd where it comes from and goes to.
Where does it come from and where does it go to?
They suddenly appear a point slightly to the east of the Hondo Mountains. Thousands of them. They stampede across the great Anhondo Plains and disappear again. Well, that's it, really.
Sorry, I don't really quite...
Well, in the spring, they do it again, only the other way round.
But why are they called perfectly normal beasts?
Old Thrashbarg calls them that. He says they come from where they come from and they go to where they go to. And that it's Bob's will, and so it must be perfectly normal.
Oh, who's Bob?
Don't ask. Random, would you like a perfectly normal beast sandwich?
I'm a vegetarian.
Ah, you look well, Trillium.
I am well. I'm very well. Look, I expect you're wondering how I found you.
Yes, I was wondering exactly that. How did you find me?
Well, as you may know, I work for one of the big sub-ether broadcasting networks.
Oh, yes. You've done very well. That's terrific. Must be a lot of fun, all that rushing around.
Oh, exhausting.
I expect it must be, yes.
Well, we have access to virtually every kind of information. I found your name on the passenger list of the ship that crashed.
You mean they knew about the crash? They knew I'd survive?
Oh, yes.
But nobody's ever been to look or search or rescue. There's been absolutely nothing.
Well, there wouldn't be. It's an insurance thing. They bury it. They pretend it never happened. You know they've reintroduced the death penalty for insurance company directors?
Really? For what offence?
What do you mean, offence?
Oh, I see.
Anyway, it's time for you to take responsibility, Arthur. For your daughter.
But, daughter? But, we never, I mean... Well, I wanted to, but surely Zaphod would have...
Not the same species, Arthur. When I decided I wanted a child, they ran all sorts of genetic tests on me and could only find one match anywhere.
Oh.
It was only later that it dawned on me. They don't usually like to tell you, but I insisted.
You mean you went to a DNA bank?
Yes. But she wasn't quite as random as her name suggests, because, of course, you were the only Homo sapiens donor in the galaxy.
Yes. Well, it was how I could afford the seat upgrades. Some of those flights are very long, you know.
Hmm. You were quite a frequent flyer, weren't you?
But when? How?
How old? Well, in my timeline, it's about 10 years since I had her, but she's obviously quite a lot older than that. I spend my life going backwards and forwards in time, you see. The job. I used to put her into daycare time zones, but you drop them off in the morning and you've simply no idea how old they'll be when you pick them up in the evening. I left her at one place for an hour, and when I came back, she'd passed puberty.
Awkward.
Isn't she? I've done all I can. It's over to you. I've got a war to go and cover. Nice to see you, Arthur. Goodbye, darling. Love you.
You're just leaving me?
Mustache, deadline.
Trillium, for goodness sake, I'm all for sharing a load, but...
Just dump me here, in this stinking peasant hole.
But,
You're supposed to be my father. This is complete pants.
There's no point in pretending this isn't hopeless.
Don't tell me you love me.
What?
Don't start that positive parenting in a practically demented universe crap. I've had it with the whole part-time parent on a guilt trip thing.
Look, I don't love you. I'm sorry, I don't even know you yet. But your name really is Random, is it?
Random Frequent Flyer Dent.
Oh, well...
Despite the Vogons' reputation for bureaucratic zeal, over-reliance on paperwork and sheer bloody-minded pedantry, the Hitchhiker's
Guide to the Galaxy Pro, soon to be available. Contact your local Infinidim Enterprises stockist to pre-order, quoting the priority code TPV.
To the Galaxy points out that they're not above a little bribery and a lot of corruption, in the same way that the sea is not above the clouds, and certainly not averse to the odd covert skullduggery either. When a Vogon Prostetnik captain in command of one of its constructor fleets hears the words integrity or moral rectitude, he reaches for his dictionary. And when he hears the chink of ready money in large quantities, he reaches for the rule book and throws it away.
Coming up on ZZ9 plural Z alpha surveillance coordinates, prosthetic Vogon jolts.
Excellent. Heave to in stealth mode. Patch into the Griblon base monitoring circuits.
Yes, sir.
In seeking so implacably the destruction of the Earth to clear the site for a new interstellar bypass, Prostetnik Vogon Jeltz has moved somewhat above and beyond the call of his professional duty. Jeltz's problem is that having destroyed a planet located in one of the galaxy's plural zones, the Earth has been replaced by an identical world. Identical in all respects, but for an absence of sentient marine life and the occasional duplication of one or two existing humans. One of these is Tricia McMillan, in most respects, a doppelganger of Arthur Dent's friend Trillian, the exceptions being her accent, the colour of her hair, her lack of a daughter, and the fact that she did not leave the Earth after meeting Zaphod Beeblebrox at a party. However, she has now managed to be abducted by aliens, in a nice way, and is currently visiting the remote world of Rupert, recently discovered 10th planet in Earth's solar system, and new home of the stranded and media-hungry Grebulons.
It's not exactly a paradise planet, is it?
Rupert is far from the star that warms your Earth, but it is an excellent location for monitoring.
Ah, Miss McMillan and wife. I hope you enjoyed the tour of our base. Now you are our guest, we must entertain you lavishly.
Get the dip.
I don't know what sort of... food.
Fast burger and fries. Yum. Nothing but the best here. Have a nugget.
Confused. You have all this technology far beyond us, but your quarters are furnished with plastic-covered sofas. Imitation coal fires. Lava lamps. How did you... I mean, where did you get this?
Ah, by mail order.
Here's a delivery.
They sent it by post?
No, not here. We have arranged a special box number in New Hampshire. We make regular pickup visits.
How do you pay for these things?
Ah, credit card.
My flexible friend.
But how do you get them, the kids' menu special?
Very easy, Miss McMillan. We stand in line.
We do.
After we've eaten, do you mind if I videotape an interview with you?
Well, of course not, Miss McMillan.
No.
We have nothing to hide here.
Nothing. Look. Open the box. Take the money.
Oh, nothing to hide. Oh. Helmsman?
Yes, sir?
My face aches strangely. What's wrong with it?
You're smiling, sir.
You lie. You lie like a Dentressy food taster. Oh! All the same... I do feel strangely amused, yes. I'm moved to write a poem about irony. Let's see. Oh, globet of dribble, oozing from the upturned corner of my mouth, you look to me like you should be the thing that droppeth from the cloud. A tiny bit of thee is stuck upon my lip. A little more is up my nose. Some has adhered to my hip. My eyes are open and glassy. My snot is thick and green. But from my ears something obscene appears, and I think it might be me.
According to the writings of old Thrashbarg, the planet Lamuella was found fully formed in the navel of a giant earwig at 4:30 one Vroom Day afternoon. And although any seasoned galactic traveller with basic passes in physics and geography might have fairly serious doubts about this, it was rather a waste of time trying to argue with old Thrashbarg, as he would invoke the will of Almighty Bob, and that would be an end to the matter. Undeniably, however, on Lamuella the days were just a little over 25 hours long, which for an Earthman basically meant an extra hour in bed every single day, and of course having regularly to reset his watch, which Arthur Dent rather enjoyed doing. He also felt at home with a number of suns and moons which Lamuella had, one of each, and with the fact that the planet orbited its single sun every 300 days, a good number because it meant the year didn't drag by. Well, it didn't used to.
Random. Someone's been using my carving knife to dig up stones to throw at the picker birds, and I think I know who it is because I watched them doing it.
You can buy another knife.
They don't sell them in bulk here. This is a subsistence economy.
It's only a knife.
Look, not content with being surly, bad-tempered, wanting to go and play in a Paleozoic era, not seeing why we have to have the gravity on the whole time, and shouting at the sun to stop following you, now you ruin my carving knife, and I don't even know if they had a Paleozoic era on this planet.
I hate it. I want to leave. They're all stupid here.
No, they're not. You refuse to acclimatise. Your mother shouldn't have let you have that sub-ether TV implanted in your wrist. The news alone is making you hyperactive.
That's because news is happening everywhere but here. And my mother dumps me here to go off and report on some war which didn't happen.
It's not her fault. The ship that was sent to fight it never arrived.
And has she come back to fetch me? No. All I have for fun is the vid channels.
Yes, well, you must stop showing those to the villagers. Huge spaceships crashing into each other may be amusing to you, but not to them. These people only ever saw one spaceship crash, and it was so frightening and shocking that they don't realise it's entertainment. It certainly wasn't for me.
What's this?
That's my watch.
I don't get it.
My watch? It's to tell the time. Where did you find it?
You left it by the waterfall after your shower. I know what it's meant to do, but you keep on fiddling with it and it still doesn't tell the right time or even anything like it. My sub-ether wristband can.
Allowing for orbital momentum and star location, the Lamuella time, sponsored by IQ Tentacle, is getting on for about 4:30, precisely.
Your watch doesn't do any of this precisely. Why do you keep it?
Sentiment, really. I was given it on my 22nd birthday by my godfather. He was probably feeling guilty that he'd forgotten every birthday I'd had up till then. He'd even forgotten my name. Look at the back.
To Albert, on his 21st birthday.
He got the date wrong, too.
Ooh, what's that noise?
Ticking. The mechanism that drives the watch. It's called clockwork.
It's all hardware.
Yes, it is.
Could have looked after it better.
That watch has survived stuff in the last few years which falls well outside the warranty, which presumably limited its guaranteed accuracy to the Earth, providing the day was 24 hours long and the planet didn't get too demolished by Vogons, which it did, utterly, and which is why I'm here. And that reminds me. Random, I forbid you to marry a Vogon.
You what?
Nothing. Just fulfilling a promise I made to myself a long time ago.
At least you were born somewhere with a name. Do you know where I was born?
No.
I was born in a spaceship that was going from somewhere to somewhere else, which only turned out to be another somewhere that my mother had to get to somewhere else again from.
Yes, that would make it hard.
It makes you feel you're always supposed to be somewhere else, always in the wrong place. Add to that the fact that we were travelling through time as well, and I was not only always feeling I was in the wrong place, but at the wrong time. I don't ever fit.
You can fit if you want.
What? Here? In the worst place she ever dumped me. With the father who gave me this precious and magical burden of life in return for a seat upgrade.
Sandwich maker! Sandwich maker! Bob has sent us another sign!
What? Has Kirk caught another two-headed fish that's really two fish cut in half and sewn together badly?
Quiet, wench, or Bob will cast you into the outer darkness.
Fine by me. I was born there.
Sandwich maker. A silver chariot descended this morning into the Anhondo foothills, and a creature of metal came out. He gave unto Drimple this sacrificial gift in return for a thumbprint and a scrape of skin from the nape of his neck.
Express delivery by robot drone.
Oh, let me see!
It is a sign! The perfectly normal beasts are about to return!
The waybill says it's from Antwelm City on Sacropiliahensia. That's where they have a year-round carnival. Let's open it.
Calm yourself, sandwich maker's daughter. Let your mind dwell on the ineffable mystery of the giant earwig.
There is no giant earwig, you stupid, smelly old fart.
Oh, preserve me. I shall intercede for you with the Almighty. Oh, ineffable.
You shouldn't upset him. Do you know the number of spaceship crashes he's had to start incorporating into his holy stories to keep the villagers interested?
Let's open the packet.
No.
Why not?
It's not addressed to me.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. It's addressed to Ford Prefect, care of me.
Ford Prefect? Is he the one who...
Yes.
What do you think it is?
I don't know. Something very worrying, though.
How do you know?
It always is when Ford Prefect's involved.
Well, that's ridiculous.
No, you don't understand. It's like me trying to explain the watch. It ticks, but that's about all you can say for it so far from Earth.
And you don't understand, there's somewhere this watch belongs, where it works, where it fits.
Random.
Forget it! You go back and fit in with your stupid sandwiches. I'll go and live in the forest with the other ghosts.
Sandwich maker, the forest is not safe after dark.
I'll get her back. Look after that package, would you?
Of course, of course. What package?
Who's that?
It's just space liner wreckage. Don't be such a wuss.
Ah! Out of the way, squirrel! Shoo! What? You want me to take it? Okay. A mouldy paper napkin. Just what I needed. And you want me to drink rainwater out of your acorn? Curiouser and curiouser.
You ain't going no further, bitch!
What? Who?
Only Zaqua, I'm gonna save you now!
Don't shoot! What the?
This program is brought to you by...
Oh, Zaqua! The ghosts!
Glow in the dark, bright as the sun. Clean a dance for everyone.
Now with vibrating nano.
The ship's onboard hologram system still working.
Random. Random. Random.
For a long period of time, The Hitchhiker's Guide has reported the speculation and controversy about where the so-called missing matter of the universe has gone. Throughout the galaxy, the science departments of major universities continue to acquire elaborate equipment to probe the hearts of distant galaxies, only to discover, when the missing matter is eventually located, that it is, in fact, all the stuff which the equipment is packed in. There is much missing matter in the package which Random has brought into her cave in the Hondo Mountains. Little squashy, round white pellets, which she is discarding for as yet unborn generations of physicists to track down and discover all over again.
Huh. All that packaging for a stupid dinner plate. What's the Not a dinner plate. You're not a black picker bird either.
Excuse me, I just have to calibrate myself. Can you hear me when I say this?
Is that you talking, origami bird?
Good. And can you hear me when I say this?
Of course I can. What do you want?
Obviously not. Good. Well, your hearing range tops out at 16 kilohertz. So, is this comfortable for you? No harmonics screeching in the upper register? Good. I can use those as data channels. Now, how many of me can you see?
One.
Good.
What are you?
We'll come to that in a minute. Just how many of me now, please?
Oh, for Zod's sake! Thousands! Mirrored into infinity!
I see. Still infinite in extent, but at least we're homing in on the right dimensional matrix. Good. No, the answer is an orange and two lemons.
Lemons?
If I have three lemons and three oranges, and I lose two oranges and a lemon, what do I have left?
Huh?
So you think the time flows that way, do you? Interesting.
Whatever.
Well, I can tell you that in your universe, you move freely in three dimensions that you call space. You move in a straight line in a fourth, which you call time, and stay rooted to one place in a fifth, which is the first fundamental of probability. After that, it gets complicated. And there's all sorts of stuff going on in dimensions 13 to 22 that you really wouldn't want to know about.
How the hell do you know?
I am the guide. In your universe, I am your guide. In fact, I inhabit what is technically known as the whole sort of general mishmash. Come outside, and I'll show you.
In the rain?
Precisely. What can you see?
Water falling through the bloody air. That's what rain does. Anything else you want to know, or can I go home?
You want to go home?
I haven't got a home.
Look into the rain.
I'm looking into the rain. What else is there to look at?
In the water, what shapes do you see?
Random!
My father.
Random!
Looking for me in the rain.
Random!
Okay, so you can project images into the rain of things happening elsewhere. What's that prove?
Only that it's no more there or not there than the rain was. It's all just images in the mishmash. Here's another one for you.
More fries? A pop tart? Cheeseburgers really
filled
me up.
My mother?
No.
I know my mother when I see her.
It is not.
Well, her hair's different, but...
That person is part of the extent of your mother on the probability axis.
Do what?
Space, time, and probability all have axes along which it is possible to move. You and your father's lives are a sum of the inherently changing probabilities your travels have exposed you to.
Oh, that's tosh.
Ah. You see the inconsistencies, but not the rule that they prove. You said you wanted to go home. Would you like to see your home?
See it? Hello? It was destroyed!
No. It is discontinuous along the probability axis. Look.
The Earth! Lots of Earths! Like a string of beads! With gaps! What was that?
The probability axis of a discontinuously probable object. The world of your origin lies on a fault line in the landscape of probability, which means that, at certain coordinates, the whole of it simply ceases to exist. Typical of all things that lie within the plural sectors. Want to go and see for yourself?
To Earth?
Is that possible?
Because of the filters through which you perceive it, your universe is vast to you. Vast in time, vast in space. But I was built with no filters at all, which means I perceive the mishmash which contains all possible universes, but which itself has no size at all. For me, anything is possible. I am omniscient and omnipotent, extremely vain, and what is more, I come in a handy self-carrying leatherette wallet.
Is this true?
Not necessarily.
Are you winding me up?
As I warned you, anything is possible.
Okay, let's go to Earth. Let's go to Earth, where it exists on its,
probability axis.
Where it hasn't been blown up. So you're the guide. How do we get a lift?
Reverse engineering. To me, the flow of time is irrelevant. You decide what you want. I then merely ensure that it has already happened.
Okay. I want a ship to take me to Earth.
Will this one do? The brief was a little vague.
An RW-6! How did... an RW-6? I've always wanted...
I know.
Uh-oh.
You have a stone you keep in your pocket for emergencies. Use it.
Yes. Of course. Come on, bird.
Random! 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 Is that... Ow! Ow! What the... Ford?
Arthur, you're standing on my head.
Events that draw themselves to a conclusion across multidimensional levels will draw themselves to a conclusion. Closure will be final and irrevocable. And I am your guide. And in the last ever episode of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, what happens is inevitably what must happen. Let me guide you. All is for the best in the best of all possible worlds. Even if it does not have much time left.
In that episode of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams, William Franklin was the book and Rula Lenske was the voice of the bird. Simon Jones played Arthur Dent, Jeffrey McGiven, Ford Prefect, Susan Sheridan, Trillian, Sandra Dickinson, Tricia McMillan, and Sam Bayar was Random. Griff Rhys-Jones played Old Thrashbug, Roger Gregg, Strinder, Andy Taylor, the Grebulon leader, Lorelei King, the patient, and Michael Fenton-Stevens, the Grebulon lieutenant. Andrew Seacombe was Colin the robot, Toby Longworth, Prosthetic Vogon Jelts, and Brian Cobby was the speaking clock. The announcer was John Marsh, the surround mix was by Paul Dealey, and additional effects by Ken Humphrey and Paul Weir. The script editor was John Langdon, and the music was by Paul Wicks Wiggins. The production manager was Joe Wheeler, and the production assistant was Susie Matthews. The programme was adapted, directed and co-produced by Dirk Maggs. The producers were Helen Chattel and Bruce Hyman, and it was an above-the-title production for BBC Radio 4. Listen to the bird and let it guide you.